Did I say Hebrews chapter 5? We'll start reading in verse 6. As he saith also, let me say this to you, church. I love you this morning. I love you. And my heart's been troubled. My heart has been heavy. I'll say it like that. And it's not heavy because I don't love you. It's heavy because I do love you. And there's needs in here. There's needs. And when I see the needs in people's lives, and sometimes we don't even see our own need. We see that we have a need, but we think it's something that it's not. I mean, and other people that's standing at a distance can sometimes see things that we can't see in ourselves. And just want you to know this morning that I love you and I thank God for you and every one of you. And I'm glad you're here. So the Bible says, as he saith also in another place, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplication with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. Now let me say this. I'm all for Bible reading. And I'm all for Bible reading above everything else, because that's God getting to talk to you. But I'll say this, that you'll never in your Christian life or any other kind of life excel past your prayer life. If your prayer life is short, then your Christian walk is short. It comes up short. If your prayer life is cold, then your life towards God is cold. Amen. And when that's cold, everything else is too, by the way. I mean, we just don't want to take time to sell it. But your prayer life is a big deal. And this man prayed here. The Bible says he crying in tears. Then he said, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have many things to say, and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are full of dull hearing. For the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and overcome such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now you can remember Brother McVeigh preached on this several years ago. I've never forgotten. I've never got away from it. I've tried not to get away from it. But I want to focus on verse 14, on those two phrases in verse 14, where it says that we exercise our senses and discerning, number two, good and evil. Let me say this at the beginning of this little thought that we want to share today. God help us today to get a hold of the Word of God. God help us to see through my ignorance. Maybe God will show you anyhow, and let us see the need for what we're going to try to discuss today and the sincerity of it. If there ever was a time where we needed to get a hold of this passage, it's now. If there's ever a time that it was on the endangered species list, what I'm fixing to talk about, I believe with all my heart, is on the endangered species list of life. Look with me, if you will, please, in the 1 Timothy. We'll come. Just hold your finger right there because we'll come back. But let's flip over to 1 Timothy chapter 4. First Timothy 4, verse 1 and 2 says, Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. Why? What's going to cause that? Because they're going to be giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. What's that going to do? What do? They speak lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. I want you to understand the danger, the importance, the seriousness of departing from the faith. So it's a serious thing. It's a dangerous thing. To me, I don't know, but I want to use the word scary. It's a scary thing to think about departing from the faith. Many times you hear me make the statement of how we need to embrace the presence of God. Whether God is reproving us, or whether God's rebuking us, or whether God's exhorting us, whether God's convicting us, what we need to do is cherish that. We need to embrace that. We need to thank God for that. We need to acknowledge that. And we need to deal correctly with the convictions of God, with the reproofs and rebukes and the exhortations of the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost. Many times I make that statement, and I say that because when we don't do that, the very next thing that'll happen, if we don't take it seriously, if you're not very, very careful, you can be seduced by these devilish spirits. That's right. And these doctrines of devils. Let's go back to Hebrews 5 now. We've seen in Hebrews 5, as we read that passage of Scripture, that he said there would be people that have been around church for years. If we take time to read again, Paul's dealing with a bunch of people that's been in church. He's not dealing with a bunch of people that are ignorant and don't know any better. He's dealing with people that go to church, been raised in church. They know about the things of God. They've been educated enough to know. They've been around church for years and they make claims of salvation. Are you listening? I'm talking about Apostle Paul is dealing with some people in the Bible that makes claims of salvation. Oh, I'm saved. I'm okay, but preacher, I've been here all my life. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. But Paul said, instead of being teachers, you're having to be taught again. Isn't that something? Instead of you being able to help somebody, you're always having to have help. Isn't that something? I mean, we've been in church all of our life. We've been around the Word of God, and all we can do is cry for help. Man, you ought to be teaching somebody. You ought to be trying to help somebody yourself. That's good. Paul said there's some reasons for this. There's still a generation, I believe, of young girls that desperately need to be taught. Boy, look at that little road right there sitting with my mama. Son, them little girls need to be taught. There's Miss Tanya sitting back there, just a young mother. And I mean, got her plate slammed full. I'm going to tell you something, boy. There ought to be some women that's had some kids. You know what qualifies you as an elder? You've done had your kids and they're grown and gone. Man, you ought to have enough wisdom. You ought to be able to say something to help that young mother along the way. Amen. And Paul said that's the way it ought to be. The elders ought to be teaching the youngers, and those that's strong in the Lord ought to be teaching the babes in Christ. But instead, there's a problem that's come up, and they're having to be dealt with themselves. We're having to nurse them instead of the babes. I think there's a generation of boys that still need to be taught. I think they need to be worked. I think they need to work these little old soft hands. I think they need blisters to the point to where they get calloused. Amen. Little soft hands. Boys ought to have to push mow the yard. They ought to have to, don't give them a weed eater, bless God. Give them a pair of hand clippers and let them go around the house and clip up. Be good for them, man. You say, nah, boy, I'll tell you one thing. He'll be glad he's got them forearms. Amen. It'll help him. That stuff will help him. Learn him how to work a little bit. Gets a little older and you know he's not lazy, let him use some of them tools. And here's the problem. You can't find a handful of teachers anymore, huh? Isn't that something? It's tough. You can't find a handful of people anymore that knows God well enough to give anybody any wisdom. It's what Timothy says. Timothy said, seducing spirits has crept into our lives. It's crept into our homes. Seducing spirits has crept into our churches. or some kind of idiot interpretation of some scriptures, which is doctrines of devils. And it seared many people's conscience to the point that you can't even discern good from evil anymore. Isn't that something? I want us to look at some of the dangers of having a seared conscience. That's what I'm going to look at today. Just some of the dangers of having a seared conscience. We talk about it. Hebrews chapter 5 here is talking about the senses and exercising the senses. And we all know that we have these five senses. Are you listening? We got five senses. The hearing, the taste, the feel, the smell, all that. But ladies and gentlemen, there's a sixth sense that we talked about the other night with that point man in Vietnam. I mean, somewhere you just, hey, listen, you can't see him, you can't hear, you just got to have that sense that he's there. That's a discernment, man. That's something special from God Almighty, and that's something that's missing in our day. That discernment is missing. That sixth sense is missing in our day. And a lot of it's coming from a calloused heart, a seared conscience, just being hard of hearing, not being able to hear the Spirit of God. Oh, we can hear what everybody else is saying, but there's a still small voice. And God needs us to hear that. He wants us to hear it. Look at verse 10 in Hebrews 5. We'll see some of the dangers. Bible said, called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have many things to say, listen, and hard to be uttered. Why? Why in the world couldn't they listen? Why couldn't Paul tell this church these things that he wanted to tell them? He said, there's some things I want to tell you, but I can't. He said, seeing you're dull of hearing. Dull of hearing. There's things that need to be said but cannot be said because the hearing ain't right. Them senses. Paul's saying here that they're losing their hearing. I've said this many times that when you hear the voice of God and you don't take heed to the voice of God. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to understand that when John the Baptist went out there and he was preaching, and boy, they brought him over there, and the king said, I want to hear him. And man, he liked to hear him, and they got him a big old shindig going, and they got to drinking and got to partying, and they brought that little old gal in there to dance for him, said, what do you want? She said, I want the head of John the Baptist. Man, that wicked king said, oh, you know what? I'm going to do that. And they went and beheaded that man of God. You know what he was? You know what John the Baptist was? He was the voice of God to them people. God put his voice inside that man's mouth. And he preached what thus saith the Lord. And they said, you know what? We're not going to have the voice of God. We're going to turn our ears from the voice of God. In fact, we're just going to cut the voice of God completely off. Many times in our life, we may not take a sword. We may not take a knife. We're too cute. We're too plain. Miss Demi, we're too modern. We're too educated. We're too slick anymore to pull the platter out and to take a sword and go ahead and de-head Jesus. We don't want to cut the tongue off of Jesus where everybody can see it. But I'm going to tell you something, beloved. When you disobey him and you turn your ear from him, you're doing the same thing. You might as well take a sword and cut the head off the man of God, because you're trying to do away with the voice of God. It's what they did with the voice of God. They said, we'll get rid of it. Many times today we hear from God, and when you don't embrace that, when you don't obey that, when you don't cherish that, I say cherish that, I want you to understand that means to deal correctly with the voice of God. When God speaks to you, when you don't deal correctly, man, I'm telling you, Jesus Christ himself, are you listening? Jesus Christ himself found him a place, and he wept. I want you to know the Son of God went before his Father, fell on his face, and he would weep and cry and pray to the Father with a heaviness in his heart. God Almighty would speak to his Son. The heaviness of Jesus would drive him to a place of prayer, a place of brokenness. And there he would pray and cry. Sometimes, Miss Stephanie, we can hear from the very mouth of God Almighty through his word, and we do nothing with that voice. We turn our ears from the things that God has to say.
Paul said, I can't say what I need to because you ain't hearing right. You ain't dealing with what you've heard. I want you to understand the importance of these senses. It's so important that we deal with them. It's so important that we pay attention to our senses. Boy, how I'd like to preach today on common sense, huh? We might touch some of that. Ain't nothing like good old common sense, is it? Hey, Michael, you out there on the job. Ain't nothing like good old common sense. I'm telling you, educated folks, smart folks, thank God for all of them. But I tell you, if you ain't got no common sense, just stay away from me. I mean, I need somebody with some common sense, friend. We've got enough of people. Hey, listen, good sense? Are you kidding me? Yale has ran this country in the ground. Those people that's running this country, they're not stupid. They're some of the smartest people on planet Earth, friend. They got Harvard degrees, Yale degrees, Princeton degrees, and they run this country slam in the ground. While my old grandpa had good common sense, and he led a family of eight through the Depression. I like that. Amen. Sure. Some of this old common sense stuff will work, friend. They asked Einstein something about a clothesline. He said, what? Exactly. And if you don't know what a clothesline is, God help you. These senses are important. Huh? These senses are important. How many times are you as a mother, or you as a daddy, or a brother, or a sister, or a friend of somebody, have seen danger? Maybe there was a snake. I can remember walking before, and Mama, you might remember, we was walking down Holder Road, and it was pitch dark outside, and we was walking down Holder Road, and there was something dark laying in the road about that long, and Mama was like, oh, don't go there. Watch out, don't step right there. What is that? We couldn't see. It was dark. And about that time, here come my Uncle Jerry up the road, had his headlights shining. Hey, pull over here. Man, there's a big old copperhead laying over there in the road. Huh? I can remember it, Miss Debbie, plain as day. Mama said, hey, y'all watch out. Don't step right there. And man, I jumped all of a sudden because of some kind of sense that she had. Man, he come up through there and there lay that big old copperhead. It was alive, thriving, doing well. Sorry, sucker. Thank God. Old Jerry grabbed that thing, carried it down there beside the road, and took his .44 Magnum and shot about six holes, right, pow, pow. I said, shoot it, reload, shoot that thing again, man, amen. Killed it, hallelujah. How many times you as a mom or a dad have seen danger in your kid's path and said, no, don't do that. No, come here. Hey, don't go out there. Don't run out there. Man, I tell you, out here on this road, we have to be careful and guard our kids. Don't you go out there toward that road. We got sense. That's just good sense. You say, why would you do that? Because there's protection and safety in these senses. Huh? There's protection in these senses. There's safety in these senses. Man, you can have a decent, fulfilling life if you'll pay attention to these senses. Sure. Otherwise, you're going to be in trouble. How many times has somebody testified of smelling smoke? What's that smell? And because they exercised their senses, they smelled something strange. They got up and went to find a small fire starting maybe in the kitchen or somewhere where a candle had turned over, something in the window or something sort of burning, and you was able to put the fire out because you was able to exercise the sense of smell. Matt was down there in Louisiana, Michael, playing ball, and Louisiana's quite different than we are. We're sweet and politically correct. They're not. I like the way they do things. They're not nice. You know, Lord, I can't go down there because I'll be in jail or in a fight because they run their mouth. I mean, I wish to God we could do a little bit more of that around here. We just got such nice fans. Nobody ever says a word. Man, it drives me crazy. So I had to go off down there in right field and run my mouth. And so everybody else don't look at me. Hey, guys, nuts. He's crazy. Yeah, well, all right. You know, them umpires make bad calls, folks.
And, you know, if I paint your room green and you want it black, somebody's going to say something.
So if that guy's safe and that upper calls him out, somebody needs to say something.
Well, anyway, they had them a real good day down there one day, Michael. One day. They had a real good day. And
I know those Cajuns really do it up. I mean, Matt said, Dad, they give us a hard time. They run their mouth. There's over 5,000 people out there. He said, they're just giving it to us. He said, there's one section over there, man. He said, it's nonstop. I mean, they're tearing us up. He said, I like it, man. It just fuels my fire. And he said, but after the game, it's over. They're out in the parking lot. They're cooking us these crawdad burgers. And, man, they just putting on them big tailgates. He said, they treat us like kings. And he said, it's good, Dad. Some of that stuff is so good. And I'm like, yeah, boy, Cajun food's right on. Well, Matthew and them had a big day down there. They beat that team 12-4 one day. So I texted Matt. I said, hey, Matt, before you eat that burger today, you might better smell it for boogers or poison. He said, Dad, you know what's so funny? Oh, yeah. That's how I think, Miss Holly. He said, Dad, you know what's so funny? He said, they won't even feed us today. I said, glory to God. I don't blame them. You beat my boys. I ain't going to feed you either. I'm glad they didn't feed them. Man, that's been a good sport of it. Good. No, y'all wore us out. We ain't feeding you today. I said, son, them Cajuns is crazy. You better check that burger before you eat it today. No, Dad, they didn't feed us today. How many times have I seen children? I mean, everybody says their kids are smart. Congratulations. I've seen these kids, man, they're back, oh, little Junior, little Sally, whatever their name is, little Ugly, little Queen, little King. He's so pretty. He's so smart. Let me tell you how smart they are. They come out of the bathroom because they got a yellow skittle in their mouth and it kind of hit them crazy, so they open their mouth and just spit it out on the floor. That's smart. Just brilliant. Oh, you think that's smart? They go down there to the restaurant and they get them a little kid menu. And for God's sakes, man, it's just a red and a blue crayon. But they got to eat the red and blue crayon. I've seen some of them set up in here and eat rocks. Come on, y'all. I've seen these little intelligent creatures. They're so smart. They're eating rocks. They're eating snot boogers. I've seen a couple snot boogers get eaten. Son, a booger's something we used to wipe on people when we was trying to be ugly. I mean, they're so smart.
What else? I seen one out there one day eyeballing some chocolate the dog when the dogs dropped. And look at it. And we're going to poke it, man. I went, boy, what's this little intelligent creature? You going to touch it? He's going to touch it. Hallelujah.
I am. Parasitis.
That was you, by the way. You was just so young, you don't remember. There's a lot of things he did he don't remember, huh? Y'all remember that? Y'all remember that?
I remember, Michael, one time I thought my granddaughter was deformed. I thought, what's wrong with Gracie? What happened?
I thought she had this growth. And come to find out, it wasn't a growth at all. She'd eat a crayon and Amber's ankles were sticking out of her mouth when she was down there trying to pull that crayon. It wasn't a growth. It was her mama down her throat.
How many times have I seen her about elbow deep in that little kid's mouth? I'm like, hey, calm down.
Pretty good and sick this year, Michael, and I could declare that I threw up on them crayons I ate in kindergarten. I mean, I threw everything up I ever ate in my life, you understand? Them crayons is coming out. Well, they're coming up or going down. They're going to come out one way or another. Lord have mercy. They so smart. Now, if you ain't never eat a rock, ladies and gentlemen,
on the behalf and the defense of these children, if you've never eat a good rock and let that thing cut and tear down through your intestines as it hit and then enter into that colon and start coming through the other side, if you ain't never, you know, enjoyed getting rid of one of them rocks, you don't know what living is. I'm just telling you, it's
probably as close to Brother Travis Clayton's catheter freezing. I mean, it's that good. It's just that good. I talked to Brother John Asquith this week
very briefly. We texted back and forth just one word or two, and I was mad, and I was about that far from cussing, and I was blowing off some steam. And he said, "Brother, I just can't get serious with you right now." He said, "I just got done listening to Brother Clayton's reason." Just kind of hard to get mad after you hear that. Amen. And then he asked Gary, "Is that possible, brother? Is it possible?"
Bless his heart. Lord, what a time. Well, them things, I'm still talking about. You know why most children make it?
Because they got moms and dads with enough sense to help them make it. I said most kids they make it to adulthood because they had a mama or a daddy with enough sense to help keep them alive. Huh? They don't know how to exercise them senses. And then outside of that, there's some that don't have moms and dads got enough sense to keep them alive, so God has to kick in, and just His grace takes care of that kid, because the poor mama, amen, that's right.
I hear some of the stories that I hear. Michael, I can remember running down bus routes down there in Florida, buddy, I'm telling you.
I can remember having to go in some of them houses and kick your way. And I mean, it sounds like them little old sad stories, but you'd kick your way through the beer cans and get back there in them little kids' room, Miss Holly. And there'd be some of them little boys and girls you had to go in there and try to help them get dressed just to get on the bus. And Mom and Dad didn't even know they was gone. I mean, we'd gone for 4 hours and they didn't even know we'd gone. What a crying shame. Thank God for His grace, boy, seeing some of them little boys and girls come to know Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Man, glad we could be part of that, baby. This is the danger that Paul's mentioning here. There's babes and even unconverted souls in the church, and yet there's those that should be grown up in the Lord, but instead of helping the younger generation, they're having to be taught and help themselves. That's what Paul's dealing with. There's some lessons that you've learned that you ought to be able to serve others so that they don't have to go through the same stuff themselves. It's a touchy situation. Tough topic. You have to understand, I grew up under Oliver Green. That was my man, son. Every morning, 9 o'clock, we listened to Oliver Green. Oliver Green would put you on the back row for this stuff. Tell you to sit down and shut your mouth. Tough old boy. I'm telling you, that he was tough. Everybody listened to him on the radio and thought, he's so sweet. Yeah.
You need to hear him live.
I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen, some of y'all's been through divorce, and that's ugly. That's nasty.
And I've never heard anybody speak good about a divorce. I've never heard anybody, boy, that was fun. I've always heard people talk about how hard it was. Man, that was hard.
Well, one of the hardest times in my life was going through a divorce, and it ought to be. It ought not never be easy to go through something like this. Sin ought never be easy.
But you know what? I'm not going to put you on the back row and tell you to shut your mouth. I hope to God you've learned something from it, and I hope that you can look at some young married couple and see some of your mistakes in him, and maybe put your arm around them and tell them what direction they're heading. I hope that the devil's trying to use that stuff for bad and trying to make guilt and all shame just rest upon you. But I promise you, you can turn that thing around for the glory of God and help somebody else along life's way, even out of your mistakes, even out of the shortcomings in your life. Amen. Or be able to help somebody. Oh, dear God. Try to anyway. I'll never forget when I was a newlywed. When I was a newlywed, Eric, yeah, you couldn't hold a candle to me. Schnookums. Son, I can't even repeat some of that sweet stuff I said. That's what me and you. Would you believe that I had a man that had 2 divorces under his belt? He was living in open sin, and he started telling me how to run my home. This man had 2 failed marriages, treated his wife like a piece of doggy chocolate. Yeah. Cheated on him, living in open sin, and he's telling me how to run my home, how to treat my wife. Would you believe, Eric, I was so smart that I actually listened to him for a while? And then that God of all grace that I was speaking of all ago, because we're so stupid that we can't help ourselves. Sometimes the God has to help us. The God of all grace said, hey, dummy, he's going to destroy your home. And I snapped out of that thing. And I realized what a loser he was. And I seen my home going in the same direction that he had taken his home. Instead of giving me some godly advice and some helpful, man, he gave me some of the wickedest and wrong stuff. I mean, it's awful, some of the stuff he was telling me. It didn't take me long to realize how self-centered he was and how he had to be taught himself. Right. He didn't need to be teaching. He needed to be taught. He needed to sit down and shut his eyes. But he was one of them fellers, ladies and gentlemen, he's one of them fellas you can't tell anything. You can't tell him nothing. I think he's starting to get old and tired now, and he's starting to, you know, at least shut up long enough to hear two or three words from somebody. People like that say they're saved. People like that say they're saved. Did I not read to y'all last week what a saved person does? They have a teachable spirit. For the grace of God to bring us salvation does what? Teaches us. A saved person can be taught. An unsaved person is a know-it-all. You say, preacher, what? No, hold on. That's the work of grace in a person's life. When grace does a work in your life, you'll have... Do you know you can have a teachable spirit and still be lost? Sure. But you can't be saved and not have. You can't. You're going to have it. And there's about seven more that you're going to have right along with it. And if you're missing one of them, you're missing them all. I don't know how many preachers would tell this story like I'm going to tell this story, because preachers have such egos. They're like umpires. Can't tell them nothing. But when I was in Mississippi, Michael, supposedly we were seeing people saved. I mean, people was coming to get born again. And I believe some of them did. I've told the stories. The last 2 weeks I was there, 15 people. The last 2 weeks. I ain't talking about the 2 years. The last 2 weeks we was there, 15 people had come, honestly. And was with a repentant heart. And was trusting Jesus Christ as their Savior, as far as I know. O'Ira Wells, he came. You remember the town drunk? He came. Stayed right in there, boy. O'Ira wouldn't leave him aside. Church, they brought old Big Dirk in there. He was about 6 foot eight, 17 foot tall. They brought Goliath up in there, and he was supposed to intimidate me. I'm not tough. I just ain't. But they brought this big old 17 foot guy in there. He was supposed to intimidate me. He had hair down to his tail, tattoos all over his body. And he was supposed to sit back there and intimidate me from preaching the Word of God. And I'm not tough, Miss Holly. It's not about me whatsoever, but it's about the Lord Jesus Christ. And I was able to go right there where he was at and preach him right into hell. Amen. That big old sucker, he hit that altar, son, just a weeping and crying and begging God to save him. Come down there and whoop me, Miss Holly. Come down there and whoop me. Got born again. Hallelujah. Could have whooped me easy. And I knew that. I was going to have a hard time with that Smith & Wesson, but he could have handled me very easily. He come flying up there in my house before the afternoon service, about 3 o'clock, somewhere there in the afternoon. And I thought, oh no, here we go. They done got to him. And I told the wife and the boys, I said, baby, take the boys and go back there in the back room. I don't want them to see me get whooped. I'm going to go back there. Old Dirk. Said, man, if I go home with this, my wife's going to run me off. I said, if you go home with something real, she's going to want what you got. So he turned around, went and got in his truck and brought her back. She got born again that night. Right. She wanted what he had. I don't know why. The Lord just let me tell him that. And so she came back that night and said, I want what he's got. I mean, I see. Boy, she was so happy that her husband come to church. You hear me? Man, seeing this crowd, but I want to tell you, I'm not telling you that for that. I'm telling you all that for this. Every time somebody would get saved, Eric, in our church, them old charter members that were supposed to be teaching people, they were taking them out there to the side and they were destroying them people. They was having cookouts on Saturday nights and oyster stews and chicken stews and just getting together, all having a big time. We don't fellowship. It don't matter now. Stupid butt fellowship. I'm sorry. Against half of that stuff is pathetic. Stay home, bless God. Read your Bible. Fall in love with your husband and your wife. Amen. Once in a while, we'll get together. And we'll do it right. We ain't going to get together every Saturday night and have shindigs. We ain't going to do that. I'm not doing that. You understand? Brother Aspen said, we're not having Tupperware parties. Brother Dave ain't having the shindigs. Amen. Just something I'm not going to do. Go home. Stay home. Go to work. Get up. Take care of your family. That's just the Vernon, okay? Michael, they'd take these young converts down there and they'd start pumping junk in their head. I'd watch them young converts go from loving God to getting distant. I'd watch their attitudes begin to change, and I'd watch them just kind of start drifting backwards. And I'm going, more oyster stews, more chicken stews, another one would come in and get born again. And them people that were supposed to be teaching and helping them, nurture them in the Lord, they was taking them over to the chicken stew, and they would give them more junk and more doctrines of devils, more of that stupid junk. And I'd watch them one by one, and it was breaking my heart. And I'm hearing preachers going, forsaken not the assembling of you. Said, man, he's preaching that. And I'd hear preachers say, touch not mine anointed. And I'm going, that's not even what that's talking about. And I knew that it wasn't about me, and it wasn't about what they were saying about me. It wasn't about them running me down. But you know what I had a problem with? They were taking them young babes in Christ and filling their head with a bunch of junk. And I said, God's going to get you off of this. Are you listening? I said, God's with a broken heart, tears running down my face. And I told the man sitting right there, I said, son, God's going to get you. I said, I'm telling you right now. And I looked at that woman sitting right there. I said, God's going to get you. And I looked at every one of them. Hey, listen. I'm not tough, Miss Holly, but on Wednesday night, I stood them up one by one and told them what God was fixing to do to each one of them. You talking about tough? That was hard. When you start pronouncing the judgment of God on them and you start calling their name, stand up. I'm going to tell you something. You've been over there in prayer. You've been over there in the Bible. You've been over there with God. And God begins to reveal and show you some things that's fixing to happen. Can I be honest with you? Every stinking one of them is dead. Every one of them is dead today. Every one of them is dead. Am I lying? And then even some of their children died that they loved. So, oh, my baby boy, they died first. Falling off of balconies, drunk, breaking their necks. Taking them young converts over there, filling their head with a bunch of junk. You say, preacher, what are you? I'm talking about the importance of obeying the voice of God. It ain't about doing me wrong, man. They should have been taking the babes of Christ and exercising their senses. They should have been discerning good from evil and trying to help them people instead of taking the church and the living God and trying to destroy it and keep their clique alive and make it a family thing. The hell with a family thing. I know we ain't nothing but a bunch of Ashwood, Perkins, and Vernons, but I said the hell with cliques, the hell with a bunch of family. It's about Jesus. It's about the Word. It's about what thus saith the Lord. I don't care whose family it is. Yeah. Treat your family, my family, nobody else any different. I'm telling you, there ain't no favoritism around here. It's not a family thing. Listen, my mama's nearly 80 years old. I ain't been down to her house one time. I don't treat her any different than anybody else. Amen. Shame to myself half the time, probably should have been. And I've told my wife, check on mama. Mama won't take it most of the time. No, I'm all right, knowing she's lying. She ain't all right. She ain't been all right her whole life. I'm talking about hearing from God. Hearing from God. Whether it's through the mouth of an ignorant country preacher, or you sitting down there in your house with that Bible in your lap, just hearing from God. Miss Frankie, sit right there. I'm talking about a woman of the outdoors. She loved the outdoors. Loved it. Loved it, Michael. She liked to ride horses. She liked to plant shrubs and flowers and man, she loved to work out in the yard. She loved to just be outside. I believe they could have lived on the bank of a river. Bobbia, didn't they? All them animals in the house.
She ran her mouth more than any one person I've ever seen in my life. Trouble.
Would you believe that she got lupus
and had to be shut in her house, and they had to put black shades and pull, and she could not see the light of day because it would eat her skin alive. And she sat down there and watered her urine. And she lived like that, and I thought, oh God, that's that wheel of judgment in her life. Whew. Husband died with cancer. Children in prison. Children dying. Miss Cat Lou died. They're all in bad shape. Listen, Benny Wheat sat right there, 52-year-old healthy man. Would run his mouth every Sunday after church to me and the babes in Christ. I told him, I said, Benny Weed, I said, God's going to kill you if you don't shut up. He bowed up, cut off the voice of God, 52 years old. He got up at 3 o'clock in the morning, having chest pains and had a massive heart attack, 52 years old, and fell over dead. You say, what are you talking about, man? The importance of listening to God. Not me, it ain't me. I wish that somebody else could tell the story. I'm just telling you, people cut off the voice of God and said, no, we're not going to listen.
I know I tell the same stuff over and over, Michael, but I had an old Marine, and a boy that was in the Marines. Just, I loved him to death. He was rough as a codger. But I love people like that. He was just honest. He was straight. He'd tell you the truth.
But he had common sense.
And for months and months and months, Miss Holly, I worked on him for months. Because the last time he was in church, he had a lot of confidence in his pastor. And his pastor ran off with a stinking woman. I guess she had something his wife didn't have. So finally, I got Mike to come to church. After months, I'm talking about a year, year and a half, I was working on Mike. I had that bunch sit out there and looked at him as a lost man and said, don't come back here, you're not welcome. The first time he came, they looked at a lost man that made eye contact with me, that brought his wife and his little children, 3 kids, and sat down over there, and they made eye contact with me, and they was eating up every word of God to you again. And that congregation looked at him and said, you're not welcome here, don't you ever come back. Every one of them's dead. Every one of them. Now, thank God, finally, that they all died. They got them a little bit of a church going on down there. Right. Can I be honest with you? That's why God sent me down there, Eric, to get that job done. God sent me down there to get that job done. God's used me like that my whole life. He's used me like that I don't know how many times. And people personally, I mean, man, like I was their last resort, you understand? I mean, I could start naming off names one after another. I know several people saying that God has sent me to, and the next thing you know, son, they're in eternity.
By the time I was 30 years old, Miss Holly,
I could name you 30 people.
God put me in their path, and I talked to them about Jesus, and they cut the voice of God off, and now they're dead in hell.
It's important that we listen to God. It's important that we embrace what He says and deal with it correctly and respond punctually. What you going to do with Eve? I got to hurry. We'll cut this off maybe and pick it up. But what you going to do about Eve? She had the voice of God. God spoke to her and Adam pretty plain. God told her not to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Her and Adam said, y'all don't eat it. Adam was standing there. Adam, don't eat of it. That's the voice of God. They didn't even have a mother-in-law. Not being stupid. They couldn't blame it on nobody. They couldn't blame it on nobody. There was nothing to blame it on. There was no sin. They didn't even have a kin person to blame it on.
But if her hearing was what it ought to be, then she would have told Satan, it may look good, but I know what God said. You're right, buddy. It does look good. It's appealing. It's attractive. Oh, yeah. Best thing she could have ever done was exercise the sense of not even looking, much less listening.
If she would have exercised what she heard from God, listen, we wouldn't even be in the mess that we're in today. If she had exercised her senses of what she heard from God, listen, we wouldn't even be dealing with Donald Trump. We wouldn't have to fight over Obamacare, and it is a disaster. We don't have to deal with that. This stuff's a mess, y'all. But it can go all the way back. Listen, I got to try to hurry. But I've heard everybody dog Eve. And I've probably said things myself. But I want to give you some food for thought right here. I want you to stop and think about something for a second. God told them not to eat of that fruit. Now let me ask y'all a question. Do you think that everything that was ever said... I'm just giving you food for thought. Okay, y'all are more than welcome to respond. You think everything that was ever said is recorded or just what God thought we needed to know? I would almost venture to say there were some things said when Jesus was here that ain't in the Bible. I would almost venture to say God said some stuff to people that ain't in your Bible. I would venture to say there's been some things said that God said, you don't need to know that.
Now, I'm not trying to make something out of nothing. I'm just trying to give you some food for thought here. Think about this for a second.
But I've heard everybody in the world dog on OE for adding that phrase, don't touch it.
And I've probably said things myself. Because in the Bible, it don't say it. It doesn't say it. That ain't what God said. Now, behind the scenes, God might have told them, oh, now, don't touch it either, buddy. Don't even touch it, Adam. I don't know. I'm not trying to add to it. Don't misunderstand that. I'm just trying to get somewhere.
I don't have a whole lot of a problem, Miss Holly, when I sit down and get to looking at that comment that she made. I don't have a whole lot of problem with that. Think about what she said. That's not a real bad comment, is it? She looked at the devil and said, the Lord God said, we shall not eat of it or touch it. That's not too bad of a comment. Because does your Bible not say, thou shalt not commit adultery? Does your Bible say that? Thou shalt not commit adultery. Abstain from all appearances of evil. Does not your Bible say that? Does not your Bible also say it's good for a man not to touch a woman?
I would venture to say the comment she made is a pretty good comment.
Because do you know how hard it would be to eat that fruit, whatever it was? Do you know how hard it would be to eat that fruit if she hadn't touched it? I mean, could you see her bobbing for apples like that? Try, get a bite of that thing. It'd be hard, son. I thought it was a good idea for her to say, don't touch it.
You know what I'm trying to say? It'd be good for us to exercise our senses and say, don't touch it.
Hey, listen, that sin that God's put his finger on, don't even look at it. Don't taste it. Don't touch it. Just stay as far, abstain from all, just stay as far away from that as you possibly can. It's a pretty good comment, ain't it?
Just a little food for thought, that's all.
He tells us not to commit adultery. He tells us not to commit fornication. Listen, we shouldn't drink. We shouldn't smoke. We shouldn't chew. And they say we shouldn't run with those that do. But can I remind you how hard it would be to put a beer in your mouth if you didn't touch it? I mean, that's kind of hard. Grab that thing with your teeth and turn it up.
Watch this. The Bible says there's pleasure in sin for a season. You believe that so? Sure it's so. Do you think when Eve took of that fruit, and I'm done. Do you think when Eve took that fruit, do you think she enjoyed it? You better believe she did. Pleasure in that sin for a season. She took that thing and was like, oh my goodness. Adam, you're not going to believe this. Adam, you've got to taste. Oh, Adam, this is, oh, you've got to taste it. It is so good. And Adam took it and ate of it. You know what I think, Eric? I think if she would have exercised her senses, if she would have eaten that thing and
and come out like my man did in that bathroom a while ago with that yellow Skittle. I don't believe there's any way in the world Adam would have went, give me some of that. No.
Pleasure in that sin for a season. Man, she enjoyed what she was doing. I mean, just completely against the voice of God. I believe if she would have exercised a little bit of sense right there, her husband would have said, no way, no baby, no, I'm not going to do that. Do you know what I'm trying to tell you? I've seen enough stupid stuff in people's lives, Eric, that I try to stay away from some of the stuff they've done. I've seen enough mistakes in people. I've seen enough of the results. I've seen enough side effects. I go, man, I don't want no part of that. Right.
I've learned plenty from the mistakes of others, huh? I've learned plenty. I sure have. I've learned plenty from my mistakes. Now, I don't think you ought to go make mistakes so you can learn. That's psychology, psychobabble.
I've heard psychiatrists say stuff like that. Well, now you need to make mistakes so you can learn. No, dummy, no. I don't need to go to jail to find out that stealing is wrong. I know stealing is wrong. I didn't go to jail.
I've seen people do things and sometimes it looked great. Sure it did. They had them a time, boy. I mean, I was having my time, but seeing the results, seeing the finish, helped me to exercise the sense to say, where's that boy at? Hey, Nathan, it helped me say, no.
You think I want to be a drunk? I've seen what drunkenness done to my daddy. I seen what drunkenness done to my home.
It gave me the sense, Miss Holly, to go, no,
I don't want that. I don't want to be part of that. Why? Because just exercising senses. That's why I set my kids down, and I'm trying to be done, y'all, but I set my kids down in front of failures.
I pointed failures out. I ain't trying to be ugly. But I pointed an old boy out that had something going for him and he wasted everything on dope. And I'd say, boys, watch him, watch what happens. And I'd set that stuff in front of my boys and my boys would see the ruin and the collapse of a human. And we didn't rejoice in it, man. We was tore up, we hated it, but it was real. And it helped us exercise the sense to say, no, we don't want that.
Close the Bible.
You're all done, Poppy.
Yeah, I'm all done, Poppy.
When we exercise our senses, y'all, things turn out good. When we turn our senses off, they turn out bad. So, I'll pick up. Father, we thank you for this day.
Help us, dear Lord. Give us discernment. God, help us to exercise our senses of seeing, hearing, smelling, all those good things. Lord, for your honor and your glory, spiritually I'm speaking. I pray now, Father, that you bless this congregation. Help us, oh God, to handle correctly the word of God and deal correctly the word of God. Lord, I pray that you'd bless the food that we're about to eat. Help us, dear God, the Spirit of God to rest upon us, that we come back in the remainder of the service, that Lord, that you'd be here with us, dear God, and stir in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.